Good evening, and welcome to the Movies on the Brain podcast. I am one of your normal hosts, Brian C. Wood, and with me this evening is not Jed Metz. He is off preparing for the Oscar ceremony and having a very busy weekend. So I am doing one of those things that they don't actually ever recommend that you do as a host. I'm sitting here flying solo with no notes in front of me. But I'm doing that for a particular reason. We are about an hour and a half away from the start of the Oscars, and we are in the middle of the heart of WrestleMania season, which always happens to be around my birthday period of time. I want to take a moment to kind of address something that I've seen a lot of talk on the internet and in various places. The Academy Awards and the very idea of awarding art is a foolhardy notion. Art is, as an art form, intended to be subjective. Looking at a Steven Spielberg film should be just as objective as looking at a Claude Monet painting or Rembrandt or any of the other great artists. They're interpretive. The intent of the author or the intent of the artist can always be evaluated and speculated about in cases where they are no longer living, but they are subjective. My interpretation of some of Monet's work may not be the same as your interpretation of Monet's work. So, when you go about the task of setting aside a body politic like the Academy that is based within the industry itself, and you give them limited amounts of criteria, and you tell them to superficially or based on this criteria, judge the worthiness of this form of art versus this artwork versus another artwork. And it becomes completely and entirely at that point subjective. You run into the obstacles that you run into on any voting for any award, which is how many people are voting, what are their backgrounds, how busy are they? In other words, are they, if it's a coaches poll, it's not the coaches that are voting, it's the SIDs, because the coaches don't have time to watch other football games because they're on the sidelines coaching. How busy are the actors or the writers or the producers or the makeup artists that are making up these decisions? How many of these films do they re regularly see? How ardently is the Academy holding to the standards and practices of screeners? How freely accessible are the screeners that the studios are providing to the Academy members? And how often are they viewing, to either attending screenings in person or viewing those screeners on their own time? These are all questions that would factor into a person's readiness or preparedness to make a decision. And I feel like on a night like tonight, we get lost in all of that. We get lost in the winners and the losers and all of that. In reality, film is an art form that is subjective, and different people have different tastes, even within the body politic that is the Academy Awards, but definitely in the general population. So I wanted to say this tonight in a way to address two things. One, why is this a big deal? Why is the Academy a big deal? Why is this time of year a big deal? And B, what does it mean? Like, what does being an Oscar-winning film mean? And why is that important or not? So let me just start off with the idea of what the Academy Awards is and what they should or should not be standing for. The Academy is a body politic made up of members of the individual branches from the individual branches from the individual job functions of film production. You have the writers over here, you have the makeup artist over here, you have the costume designers over here, production designers over here, the editors over here. And in several cases, the Academy Award show itself has tried to take the prompt of showing you a film from writing to editing, from writing to conception to editing to, to finished product, to give the viewer in an idea of how that process works. But is this body made up of the individual members of these individual job functions who have achieved some sort of status in within the industry? Some of them are former nominees, some of them are former winners, some of them are just people who have earned their vote through various means of achievements within the industry. It is a very eclectic body, and there is a rigorous standard for who does and doesn't qualify as an Academy member, but the body as a whole is more reflective now of what the world and what Hollywood is. So over the last 15 to 20 years, the Oscars have essentially become less focused on and less worried about the films that it is presenting or celebrating, and more worried about chasing television numbers. Well, why is that? Chances are tomorrow morning you'll hear some god-awful number about how much further down this year's telecast was to last year's, and you'll hear all kinds of debate about whether or not the earlier start time, starting an hour early on the East Coast, helped viewership. Like, these are the kinds of morning after headlines you're going to see tomorrow. And the truth is, they don't matter to anybody else except the Academy's Board of Governors and to ABC. The reason that the Academy has taken great pains to try and fix their telecast, to try and include more films, to try and diversify its voting body, is because ABC and Walt Disney and Buena Vista Entertainment have been summarily displeased with the decreasing ratings over the years. The Disney brand, or the Buena Vista Entertainment brand, pays a lot of money to the Academy of Motion Pictures, Arts, and Sciences to broadcast the Academy Awards every year. When they do renewals, they don't do like short-term renewals. It's not a 1 to 3 year renewal. Like, when they re-sign deals with ABC, they re-sign those deals for 5 to 10 years. So it's a very, very big deal. Over the course of the last two contracts, the ratings have continued to slip. With the rise of social media and streaming, it became not as easy. The viewing habits of people changed, and the Academy didn't keep up with all of that. And so the Academy has been struggling to cope with that because they want to keep their business partner in ABC slash Disney happy so that they can continue to get these giant checks every year, which in large part help keep the Academy afloat, doing the wonderful work it does, which includes maintaining the greatest library of film history in the world, from props to scripts to archival footage to handwritten notes. The Academy Library and the Academy Archives are among the richest treasure trove in the world for film history. And a lot of that film preservation work, like legitimate, like eight, like film from like the 1920s and 30s that needs to be preserved so it can be shown going forward, has to get funded some kind of way. And the way that it gets funded is through the Academy Awards. And so in part, it gets funded through the awards telecast. So you have this dichotomy of an advertiser who isn't happy and a body who is trying to make their advertising partners happy. So now you'd get less focus on making sure the quality of the broadcast in terms of the films that we're celebrating how we're talking about film, what we're doing within the film community gets lost and just becomes chasing numbers. And that's how you get to this cultural conversation about relevancy. There was a point in time where being an Academy Award-winning film, winning Best Picture of the Year, was a huge financial boon to you, mainly because of, how do I say this? Mainly because of DVD and VHS sales, aftermarket home video. Because if you could slap Academy Award winner on there, it would draw eyeballs to your product and it would increase the likelihood of somebody to pick up that DVD and buy it or that video and buy it because they heard something about this movie a couple of months ago at the ceremony. And hey, now I'm more likely to check it out. In this current environment where DVD sales or physical media sales as a whole are almost completely non-existent, that bump no longer really exists. And so really what you're jockeying for at this point is in industry-wide recognition, an industry-wide stamp of approval. That is what the Academy Awards now have become. Now, part of the reason why I wanted to do this short podcast was to kind of express my frustration about that. Because I feel like it's to an extent, and I don't really want to, I don't think the term applies directly, but I feel like the Academy Awards and the Academy body politic is to an extent disenfranchising millions of film fans. And here's what I mean by that. I feel like a lot of fans, a lot of film nerds, a lot of people who love movies feel disenchanted by the fact that the things that they love, horror movies, comedies, horror movies, comedies, sci-fi movies, that these kinds of movies don't get attraction, get attention on the grand stage that is the Academy Awards. And they get mad because they believe that their brand or their faction or their thing that they love needs that validation in order to be relevant. I want to make something entirely clear. There are hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of films that are amazingly funny, smart, witty, charming, thought-provoking, intelligent, well-written, well-acted, well-crafted, well-directed films that are available both through physical media, what's left of it, and streaming, that have never been nominated for an Academy Award and never will be. And if you are a fan of Movie 43, God help you, or if you're a fan of Napoleon and it only got nominated once, or you're a fan of Violent Night and it didn't get any nominations the other year, or you're a fan of Young Frankenstein, Lisa Frankenstein, and it didn't get nominated, or Girls Trip, or name your movie that, was amazing and totally deserved recognition in that you love with all of your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul, and that you talk about endlessly to your friends, doesn't mean that that's any less. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't love that film just because the Academy never gave it the love that it deserved, or because it didn't get that industry-wide recognition, or didn't get that validation as being Oscar worthy. Because at the end of the day, what will drive the success of that film is your passion about that film. There's a reason that films become cult classics. Because people discover them in other ways, whether that's on television, which leads them to actually find the movie in its unedited form and gets them in the door, or through if they find a, hear another friend talk about it and they end up looking at and reviewing that and starting engaging in the conversation, or they hear a film that everybody's talking about and they just want to watch it to see what all the fuss is about. Eyes wide shut. Just because your film is not a quote unquote Academy Award movie, just because it's not an Oscar loved movie, doesn't mean it's any less of a film than Oppenheimer or whatever. And just because your film does get nominated for an Academy Award also doesn't mean it's one of the greatest movies ever made. And that's okay. There is no shame in being a lover of The English Patient. There is no problem with being a lover and a defender of The Departed as Martin Scorsese's greatest work, when when obviously he has a vast filmography of arguably more deserving films. It's okay if you love the artist and you think that it was worthy of its awards and nominations and victories, because that's what you love. And that's what's important to you. And that's what makes you fall in love with film. And that's what you care about. And that's what's more important. It doesn't matter if a bunch of stuffy suits on the Academy's Board of Governors decide that comedies aren't true art. It doesn't matter if they say horror movies aren't art and aren't worthy of our attention, that only this narrowly tailored set of films is art. It doesn't matter. They don't make the rules for everyone. They don't govern your life. They don't govern your heart. They don't govern your soul. They don't govern your passion. So whether your favorite performance of the year got nominated or didn't, for example, if you loved Margot Robbie's turn in Barbie and were mad that it didn't get nominated, or if you're frustrated like me that Carolyn Song didn't get her nomination for Best Director for Past Lives this year, follow their work after this and continue to root for them and continue to support them financially with your dollars, whether that mean buying a DVD or whether that means going to the Criterion channel and subscribing. Or whether that means, just paying for a movie ticket to go see their next feature. Love what you love. Support it with your words. Support it with your actions. Go support the things and the actors and the actresses and the performances that you enjoy so that we can see more of them, so that you can get more of them. And yes, maybe in the end, one day, the Academy dinosaurs wake up. And the Board of Governors, opens its doors to all of film, and we get rid of this notion that you could literally tailor an Academy Award nomination from like putting script parts together. Are you a biopic? Check. Are you a historical epic? Check. Do you have a big, over the top performance aided by makeup? Check. These are the boxes that have had to be that have you typically, if you check these boxes, you win. You at least get nominated. And I hope that we live long enough to move past that. I feel like we all too often get tied up in this conversation of the Academy means all, when really what we should be talking about is what tonight really should be. Tonight shouldn't be about ratings. Tonight shouldn't be about speech length or monologue length, or whether the jokes land, or whether or not Will Smith, the slap gets brought up again this year. None of that matters. Tonight should be about our shared common love of film. And tonight should remind us all that we are not alone, that millions of film fans exist around the world, and that we are so vastly and more easily connected than ever before. It should be a reminder of why we fell in love with this movie, with this art form in the first place. Excuse me. I absolutely adored, as a kid growing up, the film, the Back to the Future films. I rented them and I rented Muppets Take Manhattan. so many times that the video store folks just eventually gave a copy of a video co-op on Grimmel Springs Road, eventually just gave a copy to my parents and was like, here, just stop. Just coming every week. You paid for this movie three times over. Just take it. Neither one of those are Oscar movies. But do you know what they were? They were a gateway. They were a door. They were the entry point for me to what film and cinema is and what it could be. We are not supposed to continue to be babes in film any more than we're supposed to continue to be babes in the Word of God. We are to be continuously, actively learning and growing and expanding our knowledge and our appreciation of art. And it means that just because the Ernest movies, Ernest Scared Stupid, and Ernest Goes to Camp, and Ernest Goes to Jail, and Ernest Plays Basketball, aren't the greatest, aren't, don't have any gold statues to their name. If anything, would have more Razzies to their name. And we can get into a whole nother conversation about why we are deeming things the worst, the same way we are deeming things the best, because it's all subjective. But ultimately, at the end of the day, tonight and this night and this season should be about us celebrating each other, celebrating our love of film, and talking about our own personal experiences about why I love movies, why I love film, and increasingly why I love the theatrical experience. Because to be quite honest, I get a sense of fear and dread every time I walk into a movie theater and it's not a big Friday night premiere of a Marvel movie. And even some of those bomb these days. The days of events like The Force Awakens or events like Endgame or events like the first Avengers movie or events like the Lord of the Rings extended cut release or events like, you name the movie, are harder and harder to come by. We don't have that same shared cinematic experience as much anymore. There's no more like huge, unless it's a huge thing, it doesn't collectively bring us together in that same way. I can guarantee you probably want to go to see Bad Boys 4, which should have been named Bad Boys for Life, but they took that on, used it on 3, which makes no sense. I'll probably be one of three people in the movie theater, regardless of how good it is. Not that there's not anticipation for the movie, not that there aren't people who want to be in that theater with me, but it's not going to move people the same way. We should treasure and appreciate what Barbieheimer did for us this summer, not because of the quality of the films, not just because of the quality of the films, but because it got people gave people a reason to show up. It gave people a reason to dress up and to support their chosen franchise or their chosen film. It got people energized and it gave people a reason to be in a movie theater for 4 months. And that's what I'll miss. And that's what I do miss. And I do have these sad, as Killers of the Flower Moon said, melancholy moments about seeing the theaters that I grew up in hollow and empty with like three people working them. And half the lights not working. I'm a guy who at one point in his life wanted to run a Blockbuster for the rest of his life. I'll never get to do that. And my hope was that Quentin Tarantino or somebody would finance me to build a theater, movie theater, a 4 to 6 screen movie theater here in my hometown that would mainly play independent movies alongside Blockbusters. But that's increasingly looking like it's never going to happen because even if somebody like Tarantino had the money or wanted to spend the money, they'd probably never see the return on their investment the way that they would like because, again, it's just really, really hard for people to commit to the cinematic experience anymore. So tonight should be about joy. Tonight should be about hope. Tonight should be about excitement and passion and a reminder about why we love this stuff. Because that's what Oscar season as a whole should be, celebrating the films of the past year and looking ahead to what comes next and being thankful that we still get the freedom of choice to sit in a theater with dark in a dark room with strangers and openly choose to go on a journey. And that we should never ever take that privilege for granted, because it may not always be there. I'm a wrestling nerd. You hear Chad and I talk wrestling on this podcast a lot, especially this time of year. I can point to two matches that made me fall in love with professional wrestling. One was Al Snow versus Bob Holly with at St. Valentine's Day Massacre, February 14th, 1999, when he got the pin in the when Bob Holly pinned Al Snow in the Mississippi River. The other is a month later, on March 25th, 1999, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, First Union Center, The Rock versus Stone Cold Steve Austin, WrestleMania 15. And those are the two matches that I can point to and say, that's why I love pro wrestling. That's what made me want to be a WWE fan. That's what made me want to seek out New Japan. That's what made me want to seek out Ring of Honor. That's what made me want to seek out Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. Because of my love for those two matches and the way those two matches drew me in and introduced me and baptized me by fire into what professional wrestling in the heat of the Attitude Era was. And that's what WrestleMania season is about. It's about us remembering what it was like when we were kids. It's about us remembering why we love this stuff. It's being reminded to us every single night we turn on a professional wrestling program these days, because the storytelling is just taking it to a whole nother level. It's about reminding us about why we love this stuff and why we want our kids to love this stuff if we're lucky enough to have them. And why this stuff excites us and makes us happy. And that joy, that love, that passion, that enthusiasm is not granted to us by a board of governors. It is not conferred upon us in the films that we love by the body politic of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. It is wholly and genuinely created from whole cloth, from our own personalities, from our own experiences, as vast and different as those may be. So when you read the headlines tomorrow and you see all the conversation about the lack of ratings, or how bad this monologue joke bombed, or how dare they play this person off when they didn't play that person off, remember that it's just hullabaloo. It's ancillary. It's meaningless. It's not what this night is about. Keep that joy, keep that passion, keep that love for cinema in your heart, and share it with others. And enjoy this moment where we celebrate it together as a community, because we only get to do this once a year. It doesn't matter if your favorite film is Attack of the Killer Donuts. It doesn't matter if your favorite film is Citizen Kane. It doesn't matter if your favorite film is Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, or if it's Charlie in the Chocolate Factory. It doesn't matter if it's your favorite movie is Movie 43, or Battlefield Earth, or Waterworld. It doesn't matter if your favorite superhero is Iron Man versus your favorite superhero being Captain Planet. It doesn't matter if you're a fan of the original Power Rangers movie or the not too bad reboot in 2017. They're all film. They're all equal. They're all trying to achieve different ends and different means, but that doesn't mean that we have a right or we should enjoy them any less than one another. So as we go into the Dolby Cinema, or the lucky individuals who can go into the Dolby Cinema tonight, get to sit back in their nice coats and dress coats and ties and tuxedos as we get to hear I'm Not Ken be performed and then win the Academy Award. And then they all get to go to the governor's ball and eat and drink and be merry. Let us remember the sacrifices of the writers and the actors who fought hard to get a renewed labor contract to get to this point. Let us remember the studio heads who are at this current moment threatening the form of art, the art form, by using a tax loophole to basically keep an artistic dream from becoming reality after paying for it. And let us remember why we love this stuff. No matter how goofy or silly or irreverent or funny or serious or dramatic it can be. Enjoy tonight, and let's continue to love film now, then now, and forever. Thank you very much, and have a pleasant evening.